Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for consideration today is found recorded in Ephesians in the 4th chapter, verses 17 to 24. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So far the text. In the name of Jesus, our blessed Savior, to your fellow redeemed. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. Those are the familiar words of Moses from his Genesis account of the world's creation. And it's significant and noteworthy as you read through the entire account of Moses in Genesis, how he repeats this thought again and again, that everything the Lord made was good. The oceans, the dry land, the green growing things, the heavenly bodies, all creatures great and small, and the crown of his creation, man. After God finished all of his creative work, Moses reports that God looked at it and saw that it was very good. Now, as we look around us in our world today, it's quite apparent, isn't it, that the world is not what it once was. Whether it be the COVID virus with its Delta variant that is wreaking havoc on Earth, or the devastating wildfires that are raging out west with the billowing smoke and causing of breathing problems. Also, the troubles that we each experience in our individual lives. It's abundantly clear that we do not live in a perfectly good world. The crown of the creation, man, is not by nature good. For when Satan tempted Eve and Adam to disobey the Lord, from that day on, they and all their descendants after them were born in not God's good image, but in Adam and Eve's bad image, and causing all kinds of bad things, bad sins of thought, word, and deed to be proliferated and spread throughout the earth. And yet, that did not cause our good God to stop loving bad man. Right after sin's marring of God's perfect creation, he promised, as you know, to send Jesus to restore his good and holy image to man by living a good life in our stead and by forfeiting his good life on the cross to atone for our badness. And so it is that we who now trust in Christ as our Savior possess God's good and holy image. Even though we don't enjoy it fully yet, we shall one day when we arrive in yonder world. But it's because we still have that old self, or the Bible calls the sin nature, the old Adam, clinging to us, because we live in a bad world in which emptiness, spiritual emptiness, in which temptations abound to veer off the good path to heaven, that the Lord of goodness provides us with many good exhortations in His holy word to be all the more eager to make our calling and election sure, knowing that if you do these things, you'll never stumble, and you will then receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this morning we want to hear one of these good exhortations of our gracious Lord, His encouragement here in our text to live as Christians in the knowledge of Jesus, to put off the old self and to put on the new. First, let's reiterate and be reminded of the blessed gospel truth that God, through the sacrificial death of Jesus on Calvary's cross, as I mentioned a moment ago, has in fact demolished the barrier of sin that stood between us and Him since the fall. Through Jesus' shed blood, we have been washed, sanctified, and justified. God, for Jesus' sake, in whom we trust, has declared us to be, as we mentioned, perfectly good. And we can each say with joy, I'm part of the glorious band of white-robed saints. We're going to stand before God unashamed on Judgment Day. We'll be privileged to serve the Lord day and night in His temple. But now here in our text, Paul's not talking about that. He's not talking on that subject, the one-time glorious event of our being justified and redeemed through faith in Jesus. He's speaking on the subject of sanctification. As people who've been united with Christ by faith and who enjoy the blessings of His forgiveness and the promise of eternal life, He now exhorts us to live lives that reflect our noble status. So when we get up in the morning and we go through our day, and all the decisions we make, the priorities we set in our attitudes and the things that we say to other people, we're to live with an acute awareness of what Jesus has rescued us from, and with a firm resolve to not live, as Paul says here, as the Gentiles do. Gentiles referring to unbelievers. And he describes graphically what this means, what we're not to live like, Gentiles, unbelievers. He says they're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardening of their hearts. As unbelievers who do not have the holy of image of God restored to them yet, but are still trapped in unbelief's darkness, and that's why they expend all their time and energy, aspirations on things that have to do with the passing pleasures of a world that is one day not going to be, that's going to pass away, just like steam arises and disappears from the kettle on the stove. He describes them here, unbelievers, having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Though they live, unbelievers, one day to the next with this distorted life perspective and having no concept of what really is good and right and noble and admirable and honest and true and pleasing to the Lord, and most tragically of all, they consider the most wondrous message that has ever been broadcast on earth, Christ crucified and risen from the dead, to be nothing to be excited about, as foolish nonsense. And that's a description of the Gentiles, the unbelieving world. That was our by nature state as well, but no longer, Paul says. You are now children of God and of the light, so live as children of light in the knowledge of Jesus, serving and honoring him with a life of holiness for his praise. But since you're still here in the world, a world that is going to seek to encroach upon you with its godless way of life, Paul stresses how essential it is to fight the temptation the world sets before us to suck us back into its ungodly ways. Do not let it influence you. Don't let it divert you from your heavenward path. Dear Ephesians, Paul was saying, and the Lord is saying to us, dear children of mine, saved by grace, to whom I have restored my holy image through faith in Christ, who are heirs of eternal life in heaven, live now in the knowledge of Jesus, of all that he's done for you and all that he's made of you. You did not come to know Christ that way, that is, as the world thinks of him. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, it's the old Adam, the sinful flesh, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So how, dear friends, could the Ephesians meet that challenge, and how can you and I meet the challenge Paul sets before us of doing those two things, putting off the old self and then putting on the new? How may we resist and successfully fight those formidable foes, the unholy three of the world, the devil, and our sinful flesh? Were we to try doing that on our own, we would be destined for failure. As Luther wrote in his Reformation hymn, soon were our loss effected. But God be praised that he, in his love and goodness, enables us to live in the knowledge of Jesus, to put off the old self and put on the new. And the way he does it, as you know, he gives us strength through his word that we faithfully read and study and that we think about, meditate on as we go through our week here at church. He does it through the sacrament of the Holy Communion that we partake of regularly. He does it through our faithful recalling of the sacrament of baptism and what it means for our lives. Remember what Luther wrote about that? The Catechism. What's the meaning of this being baptized with water? It means that the old Adam, the old self, in us should be drowned by daily contrition and repentance and die with all sins and evil desires. It also means that a new man should daily appear and arise who lives eternally before God in righteousness and purity. Just as Paul writes in the book of Romans, chapter 6, we were buried with Christ through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That, dear Christian friends, is what makes us different from the Gentiles, from the unbelievers. Not that we don't have the old Adam anymore, we still do. Each of us knows from our own life experience that that is true, but by God's grace, we also have been given that new heart, that new spirit. It's the Holy Spirit created in us by the gospel, which gives us a love for listening to Jesus' voice, our good shepherd, and which finds joy in following him in steadfast faith, in holiness of life. Two examples I might mention, of course there are many more you could speak about, but one is when the old self tempts us to regard the hearing and learning of God's word as unimportant or think that it's something that is boring. That's the old self causes that. I've got no time for Bible study. I got no time for devotions. My schedule's chock full of too many other more important things that need to get done. That's the old self. Your new self, spirit created, leads you to pray, Heavenly Father, forgive my confused priorities. Help me to keep my heart focused on Christ, the bread from heaven, and the blessings of your word, which are worth more than thousands of shekels of gold and silver. Through it, you assure me of your forgiving love and provide nourishment to my famished soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. That's what the new self, spirit created in us, says. Second example, when the old self entices us to run with the world in its godless ways, trampling on God's commandments in various ways, your new self prompts you to pray, forgive, Lord, and through your Holy Spirit, help me to deny myself, to take up my cross and follow Jesus. What is the world to me with all its vaunted pleasure when you and you alone, Lord Jesus, are my treasure? You only, dearest Lord, my soul's delight shall be. You are my peace, my rest. What is the world to me? And let me live my life in thankfulness for all that you have done for me, my gracious Savior. You may be confident also as you come before the Lord's throne of mercy in your need. He will strengthen you, cause you to stand and uphold you with his righteous right hand. He's going to cause your new self, spirit created, to daily come forth and arise, to become stronger each day so that you become more and more conformed in Jesus' good and holy image. And one day, the spiritual tug of war between the old Adam, the old self, and the new, be a thing of the past, be over. His holy image, the Lord's holy image, will be perfectly restored to you in heaven. You actually already have it by faith, but you just don't enjoy it yet fully. Then you will enjoy it to the full. Till then, may your prayer be, finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee, changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Amen. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who promised is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, uphold with your spirit free.